I'm Matt Hoffman, an educator at the National Museum of American History, and this is History Explorer, a podcast that lets you investigate questions about history along with our staff. In 1964, young people from across the country joined with activists in Mississippi for what was known as Freedom Summer. This youth-led effort aimed to end the political disenfranchisement and educational inequality of African Americans in the Deep South. In this episode of History Explorer, we're going to hear from Cortland Cox, a Freedom Summer veteran and active member of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee in the 1960s. He will discuss his work in the civil rights movement, the relationship between the work of Freedom Summer and the recent voter registration requirements, and the challenge for this generation of young people.
Okay, my name is Cortland Cox, and I worked on the Mississippi Freedom Summer in 1964. In 1963, 1964, when I came to Washington, I came a little earlier than that, but there were no such thing as black bus drivers in Washington, D.C. If you went to some of the department stores, you couldn't try on clothes. In 1963, probably the Redskins had one black player. And in fact, one of the first things I did when I came to Washington, D.C., you know RFK Stadium, that's where the Redskins used to play, right? Well, I mean, I picketed the RFK, one of the first things I did when I came here, because there were no African-American players on the Redskins. To give you some perspective of what we faced in 1963, things that you take for granted now, and you think that, hey, that's not a big deal, it was a big deal in 1960, 1961, 1963. So we try to create space for those, for us, for those of us who were your age. How, what kind of world are we going to live in if all these barriers existed and we couldn't get the right job, we couldn't go in the right place, we couldn't go to the right school, we couldn't go in the right, live in the various places. So we engage in a lot of activities to end those barriers. The other thing, I did that while I was a student at Howard University and spent a lot of time doing that. Then after that, I went down south to Mississippi and Alabama in particular. And there, we tried to deal with voter registration and the vote. Because let me tell you, that it is about the vote. It is about the ability to decide. And, you know, it seemed to me that one of the things that the vote was so important and the keeping us out of having the right to vote was so important that what we faced was terror. And when I say terror, I mean people were prepared to kill you. Not just, I mean, they were prepared to just shoot you or do whatever was necessary to keep you from voting. And while, you know, people like myself were at risk, you know, for going down to try to get people to vote, that is one level of terror. But people who actually lived there, you know, I could, if I got tired of being in Mississippi or tired of being in Alabama, I could, in fact, get on a Greyhound bus or a car or something and leave. But people who grew up there and who had their roots there and who had families there could not do that. And so the terror they faced was not only physical, but if they registered to vote, they would be kicked off the land. They would lose their jobs. So, I mean, at every level, you know, the right to vote was so important in terms of the balance of power that people were prepared to engage in terrorist activities in order to make sure that you didn't participate. Now, for those of you who think that's in the past, you need to pay attention to what's going on around the country. If you look at what's going on in Ohio, if you look at what's going on in Pennsylvania, if you look at what's going on in Michigan, if you look at what's going on in Florida, if you look at what's going on in all these states, basically, there is a narrowing of the right to vote. They're trying to, you know, make sure that you have to have photo IDs and you have to have a whole lot of other things. You know, while our situation is different, you don't face terrorist tactics. Nobody's going to shoot you to register to vote. Nobody's going to take away your job. No one is going to fire you for voting. But in fact, if you don't pay attention, your ability to have the best job, to use your intellectual property for your own wealth and for your own gain, to hold high office, to do a number of things, is going to be restricted. I've done a lot of things. Won't go into a lot of details. But all of them were important. All of them were necessary. And all of that was not sufficient. Because you still face issues today around education, around voting, around jobs, because this what we've done over the years has given you space to grow. You don't have to deal with public accommodations. You don't have to deal with voting. You don't have to deal with housing. But you do have to deal with education. You do have to deal with jobs and employment. You do have to deal with other issues, the use of your intellectual property in order to create wealth. You have to deal with a number of those things. Just like people that you might have read about, Harriet Tubman or Frederick Douglass or all these other people, created space for me and my generation, as I came when it was your age, to do a number of things. We created space for you. You're going to face your problem, but you're not going to face the problems that we face. You're going to have to face the problems that you need to deal with. And I think the big and most important issue that you're going to have to deal with in the near future is the issue of education.
Mr. Cox just outlined a number of challenges facing young people. What are your thoughts? Do you think we can learn from efforts like the Freedom Summer to meet these challenges? To learn more about Freedom Summer and what we can learn from it, check out the archived version of the Freedom Summer National Youth Summit at americanhistory.si.edu/NYS/freedom-summer. You can also find this link in our teacher guide. This podcast is made possible through a generous grant from the Verizon Foundation. Music from the_orchestra.com.